Welcome to the MMA Happy Hour. I am Kyle Anthony, your host. We're here. We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC Vegas 76 between Sean Strickland and Abus Magomedov. We're going to be breaking down three plays here like we always do on the show. And hey, we're coming off another profitable evening last weekend. And listen, it wasn't one of those five-unit wins, nine-unit wins we've been having this year. This was a smaller amount, but we will take it. Profit is profit. Now I've cashed five of the last six UFC events. We have just been crushing the summer, just absolutely been crushing the summer. This week I have another five-unit max play. We hit a plus money five-unit max play last weekend. I am back at it. I feel great about this play, too. So another strong play out there. If you want to become a client, link down in the description at wagertalk.com. Kyle Anthony. Get all my plays, everything else that I'm going to be having for clients over there. Also, real quickly, is I'm going to have a sponsor for the show. I'm excited about it. Hopefully next weekend, next week, which will be the next show on Wednesday for UFC 290. We're going to have, we're going to have some interesting things to talk about here with the new sponsor, some new opportunities here. I just really can't wait to talk about it. They reached out to me. They made me an offer I can't refuse. So we will be announcing that probably next week, the official sponsor of the MMA Happy Hour here. So with that being said, I think it's time to dive into the main event of the evening between Sean Strickland and Abus Magomedov. Now, this one here, we got it right now. The line has definitely shrunk a little bit here. You had Sean Strickland. You know, he was up there, you know, minus 200. Now he's come down in some of these books, minus 140, minus 150. Now you got a boost. He's plus 115. But you are definitely seeing money has come in on a boost. Now, when you're looking at this fight here, you know, you've got Sean Strickland. He is the cardio king. He's going to be pushing that pace going forward. You know, volume, pace, pressure. That's been his thing. That's where he's found a lot of success. And he can do some of that here. And you've got a boost on the other side here where guy is a finisher. He definitely does. He has that ability. 25 wins, 20 stoppages, 14 knockouts, 6 submissions. This guy definitely has the goods. And the one thing you got to ask yourself going into this fight, and I really asked myself this as well too, is why is this a main event? I mean, you know, it's an interesting fight here and how they've kind of set it up. I mean, you've got Sean Strickland, who, you know, not long ago was looking to fight or did fight Alex Pereira. This was a spot where he was maybe going to look for a title shot. This was an opportunity where Strickland was on the cusp of a possible title shot. He gets knocked out, loses to Cannonier after that. And then he fights Nassir Mavov, does get that victory there. I thought he looked pretty good there. But on the other side here, when you're looking at Magomedov here, you know, 2018, he was in the PFL playoffs, went far there, ended up losing. The last two fights, he fought at KSW, got wins. That's nice and all, but the interesting part of this, and the part that I think is a little bit of some of the intangibles or some of the things you look at when you're capping or when I am capping a fight, is activity and just kind of where you are mentally. And those are the things I think another fight we're going to talk about today, a little about the mental part. But the fact that over since 2020, December of 2020, Abus has had six fights scheduled. He only fought in one. And now, some of these reasons were him, you know, his issues where he just had, you know, he couldn't get to the scale, or there was just some kind of reason that the fight was called off on his side and his team. There was a few that was on the other side, and the other fighter was the one that kind of backed out. So there are some of those things that I think do make it a little bit interesting there. But then the only win that he has over that time frame was in the UFC against Dustin Stoltzfus. Stoltzfus, you know, a guy blocks punches with his face. He goes out there, gets knocked out, 19 seconds, pretty damn quick overall. But, you know, he gets that knockout, and now he's fighting in a main event against Sean Strickland. This is a big step up in competition for him. But Dustin is also 1-4 out of his last five, has not looked good, you know, can get hit, can get finished. And, you know, this is a big step up for him overall. But if you're looking at stylistically speaking in this spot, Sean Strickland has multiple paths to victory, multiple opportunities. Let me just kind of fix this here. Multiple paths, multiple opportunities to go out and get the victory here. And I think one of the biggest things for me is going to be the fact that Sean Strickland has so much experience in five rounders. And that to me is so important against the guy in a boost who has not had to go there, you know, has not gone far, has not been the guy that, you know, goes out and lasts the entire fight. Now that also could be credited to the fact that this guy's knocking people out and finishing them so early, but he has not had to go five rounds. And that to me, with a guy like Sean Strickland, who is absolutely fantastic at utilizing the pressure, the cardio, the pace, he likes these five rounders. They really fit in perfectly to his style, to what he does. So you do have that on part of it. But the other part is, yeah, early, you know, early, it could be a little dicey where you've got a boost throwing some big shots, looking to fire some of these big shots. And I think that to me, you know, could get a little dicey, but Strickland is not going to look to have a firefight. He's not going to stand in the middle, just stand, trade, throw big shots, you know, stand in a phone booth. He will stand in a phone booth, though, walking his opponent down. He's not going to just stand, dig in, and throw. Abus would love that, but that's not how Sean Strickland fights. He will push forward. He will have that pace. He will push that cardio. And to me, on the other side of it is we've definitely seen you know, a little bit with, you know, can Magomedov last? You know, that's, you know, can he last? Now, this cardio and this push and the way he's going to be pushing forward, I think is going to do a lot of very good things for Sean Strickland as he can kind of work him, as he can kind of set that pace, push that cardio, have those opportunities to land the big shot, keep going, keep pushing. And that could really start to crumble Magomedov's opportunity for anything, because the high output, the high striking volume, the pace, I think those things are going to be very difficult for Magomedov to really fend off if he doesn't have the cardio, if he doesn't have those opportunities to really kind of work in space. Now, the other side of it is, you know, we've seen Magomedov looking for takedowns a little bit more, you know, looking for the opportunity to get the fight to the ground. It's not really been the where he, you know, where he's the most comfortable at, but that's kind of been where he's added this new wrinkle. And you don't want to be in the ground with Sean Strickland. I mean, I think Strickland would be fine if he gets taken down. I think he'll be totally fine there. High level jiu-jitsu. I don't really see, you know, Magomedov just dominating or keeping him on the ground and keeping him there for 25 minutes. And also on the other side of it is, if Sean Strickland does go down, he's got high level jiu-jitsu, but he's got an 85% takedown defense rate. He's not an easy guy to take down either here. You look at competition level of each of these guys too. It is wide margin between these two as well. I mean, you can't really say too much about who Abus, you know, really fought overall. But you look at Strickland, he fought Cannonier, Alex Pereira, Jack Hermanson, Brendan Allen, Kamaru Usman, Christoph Jocko. I mean, these are high-level guys. And adding to the fact that the last time that Sean Strickland was taken down was when he fought Usman back in 2017, and Usman was 2-for-8 on takedown. So this is definitely a spot where I like Sean Strickland. The money continues to come in on Abus, and I think, you know, it's a spot where you're getting value here. I really think it's going the wrong way. I like Sean Strickland here. Maybe the line was a little bit wide, but this now is, I think the value is there. I think Sean Strickland can push the pace. He can have the output. He can be comfortable anywhere the fight goes. He can really, really go for it. So for me in this spot here, I do like Sean Strickland to go out there and get the job done. And the other one we're going to talk about, we are going to talk about Michael Morales -295 against Max Griffin +215. Man, it's hot in here. It's hot in here today. I got to put the AC up. All right. So Michael Morales right now, he's -295. That's just ludicrous right now about how wide this is going to be. But for all the right reasons, listen, Michael Morales is a savage. Guy is, you know, he's 24 years old, 14-0, you know, 11 knockouts, one submission. He can do it. He has a lot of hype behind him, and that's really great that he does. And he's, again, 24, he's really doing a lot of great things. But now on the other side here, you know, you've got Max Griffin, crafty veteran, good boxing, has the ability to work at range, and he does have some power for himself too. Now, I think one of the things when you're looking at just, you know, how Michael Morales, you know, what he can do is, yeah, he's got that range. He's got that power. He's got that ability to go out there, land those big shots. The 3-inch reach advantage, I think, is going to help him too, working at range, being comfortable. But he definitely is a flashy guy, has the ability to land the big shot, land the damage. And I do like the fact that he took off a year after his last fight. The last fight there, you know, he did get the victory. But I thought that there were spots where he looked a little iffy there, you know, looked a little susceptible to certain things. 24 years old, he's not going to be a finished product. He is not going to be completely polished, but he has every tool that you need to continually grow within the UFC, have opportunity to continue to grow within the UFC and with the organization and continue to fight the right opponents, I think would help him as well, too, in this spot. But when you're looking also at just, you know, the competition level. Now, we talked a little bit about that just in the last one, and that to me is very important, you know, very important competition level. But this is a big step up. You know, this is a big step up for Michael Morales, who he's fought. Now, Max Griffin, a veteran of the sport, good boxing, good ability. And I think that's going to help him here because, you know, if this is going to be a stand-up fight, it's going to be close. I think it will definitely be close. Griffin, not no slouch on the feet. You're going to have you know, the ability on both sides. But the lackadaisical defense coming from Morales, to me, worries me. To me, it actually really worries me because he's willing to – not like he's willing to get hit, but he's very hittable. Keeps his head in the center line, hands down. You know, wants to be more flashy than he wants to be more protected and be more, you know, tuned and technical and keeping his hands up. And those are things to me that could open up opportunities for Max Griffin. Also, you add in the fact that he really struggles, in my opinion, struggles on leg kicks, struggles on checking leg kicks in Morales. And I think that's where Griffin – can find success, can chip away, utilize some of the boxing heavy approach will be there. But then I like the fact that, you know, like I said, this will be a spot where if he mixes it up and starts chopping at the legs of Morales, it could open up opportunities big time. And that also could start to chip away. Now you also add in a new wrinkle to Max Griffin's game, where Max Griffin is another guy known to be more of a striker, but he has added this grinding takedown ability. And that, to me, I don't think Griffin wants to have a, you know, three-round kickboxing match with Michael Morales. I think he's way too crafty. I think he's the kind of guy that is – did I just knock my microphone off? He's way too crafty. He's way too good to just really just stand and box. I think he's going to look to get these takedowns, look to clinch, look to cage push, push him up against the fence. Now, is he going to be successful? I'm not too sure, but I think it's a path for him that if things get a little dicey in the striking, he can go there. He can go to the fence. He can go for some takedowns, and we'll see kind of how that goes. But it just could put Morales, who's a little bit more inexperienced or a lot more inexperienced, out of rhythm, giving him the opportunity. Because a lot of people kind of think Griffin is this like guy that's kind of at the end of his career. He's 37 years old. Yes, he's way older. Yes, the younger guy has massive advantages when we're talking about betting on the younger guy. He definitely, I mean, it's like a, I think at this age, I think it's like 80% that goes to the younger guy. But I don't see the downturn as much for Max Griffin. You look at his fights here. I mean, last five fights, he's 4-1. You know, it's, and you know, he's looked good. I think he's looked good. He's looked technical. You know, maybe the best he's looked. Adding new wrinkles. It's going to be a very tough fight for Morales. This line, I feel, is a little bit too wide for me. And I think there's a spot here for, this is dog or pass here. I think Max Griffin is live here. You give me +215 on Max Griffin, a veteran against a big step up for Morales. Now, if Morales goes out there and absolutely obliterates him, I will be impressed. The kid's impressive regardless anyway, but I don't like this price here. So I'm taking Max Griffin, dog or pass spot here, +215. And the last fight we're going to talk about here is going to be Fakhretdinov versus Lee. And this one here, you're definitely getting different opinions here from everybody in the MMA community here on who they like, where they're going with this. But this is going to be a spot here where you've got Fakhretdinov -225, continues to swell for him. You've got Kevin Lee +172 on the other side here. And you got Fakhretdinov, he's 22-2. Big wrestling approach, big wrestling heavy approach. We'll push forward. We'll continually, relentlessly, non-stop takedowns are coming from Fakhretdinov. He wants to get the fight to the ground. He will be willing to do whatever it is. He will completely sell out for it. That's what he's going to do. Now you got Kevin Lee on the other side here, who is a wrestler, interestingly enough. And now, you know, he's coming back from Eagle FC. fought Diego Sanchez not long ago. Didn't look that good, but Lee ended up, I think it was his ACL he blew out or whatever it was, and did get the victory there, but he didn't look that too impressive overall. But I think the biggest issue here for Kevin Lee is going to be the fact that this is happening at 175 and not 155. I think he looks way better at 155, but the issue for Kevin Lee is the fact that he kind of falls into that middle of the road where, you know, you're either, you know, he's kind of too, you know, too big for the 155, where it's a tough weight cut. He really drains himself. It's very difficult. And then the other side here at 175, he moves up and it's going to hurt him because he's got to throw on more weight. He's going to be the smaller guy, you know, could gas him a little bit, having that extra weight where he has had struggled with his cardio in that as well too. But this is going to be a spot where really the issue is going to be that the pounds, but it's going to be the cardio situation here. And can he defend these takedowns? Now, early, I think Kevin Lee is explosive. I think he has the ability. Definitely, you know, not like Kevin Lee has his high level striking, but he's got some striking. He has better jab, better 1-2 combinations. Like I said, explosive, probably the more athletic guy. Where Fakhretdinov, he's only going to throw these big hooks, these big overhand hooks to look to level change, to look to kind of push the pace, to get on you, get his hands on you. And to me, that is a little bit where Kevin could make this competitive. And I don't expect Kevin to really fall off a cliff in this spot where he's just going to come in and be, you know, absolutely washed. I don't really think that. Kevin Lee does have that wrestling. And to me, that also adds to this, where, yes, Fakhretdinov may find some top control. And I think early that first round could be close. But I think Fakhretdinov just keeps pushing the pace, getting his hands on Lee, controlling the situation as much as possible, and really draining that cardio. And the issue here is we've seen lesser grapplers control Kevin Lee on the ground. I mean, even Rafael Dos Anjos not long ago really just took Lee down whenever he wanted. And then you even have, and then that gassed Kevin Lee, and then he struggled really kind of, oops. Then he really struggled kind of, let me make sure that's a little centered here. I talk too much in my hands, and you've got Kevin Lee who started to slow down, and now you got on the other side here where he didn't fight too long ago. He fought Daniel Rodriguez, and D-Rod came in on short notice, and Kevin Lee was the one that gassed. So to me, this is a spot where the first round and a half, I think, are going to be competitive. Kevin Lee is going to be in the mix. He's going to be in there grappling, wrestling, scrambling, getting back to his feet. People are excited about it. He's going to look explosive in certain spots. But as this fight goes, I expect Fakhretdinov to completely control the action, completely keep him up against the fence. I don't think it's going to be a sexy win for Fakhretdinov, but I think he gets the job done. Now, getting off the -225 number, I like Fakhretdinov to win via decision +180, I think is a great spot. I think Kevin Lee can kind of survive some of these tough spots, make that first round competitive, but then I think Fakhretdinov absolutely wins that third round on a very high clip, and I think that second round is where Kevin Lee starts to lose a little bit, lose the positioning, and that's where Fakhretdinov can pick up two of the three rounds and get that victory. So as my last play here, I like Fakhretdinov via decision, +180. Where there you have it for UFC Vegas 76. Let's see how we do, man. Listen, I want to keep cashing all summer long. If you want to become a client, link down in the description at Kyle Anthony UFC on Twitter. Follow me there. I'm always giving out free plays and chatting up with everybody as well too. So cash 5 of 6 events. Let's make it 6 of 7 this weekend. Excited about it. Let's keep it going, and I will see you guys next week. Let's cash.